Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa DeYoung. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery Podcast. I'm Lisa DeYoung, and I'm so happy to have you here. In today's episode, this is the first episode that I'm doing solo in a while. The last few episodes, I had the lovely company of some graduates with me. So yeah, I was reflecting on what to chat about, what questions I get asked, what means something to me. And usually the way that I decide what topic to record is I tune into myself and ask myself, what do I want to speak about and what is on my heart, and or what are my students asking? What are my clients asking? What is a topic that is around me? And what do I feel connected to? And yeah, so today's topic is all about my own personal journey. I know I have shared this before, but I do still get quite a lot of questions about my personal journey and how I came to do this work. And it's been a while since I've talked about this because a lot of my focus has been on my clients, my courses, facilitation, coaching, teaching, writing, and running a business as well to facilitate all of that work. And yeah, it's been a while since I have talked about this topic as in a kind of a longer format. So yeah, I think it's a good one to bring to you today and share a little bit about my journey with my own menstrual cycle and where I'm at with it now, and what the journey has been like and how that's informed my work. So I am very lucky that nowadays I do live in peace with my menstrual cycle. I have, not always, but I have many menstrual cycles that are not painful, where I don't suffer at all, a lot of peace. And when or if I do struggle, I don't suffer. It's very temporary, and I know exactly how to look after myself and what to do, and it doesn't feel like the world is ending. I don't want to die, and yeah, I'm not consumed in suffering or in a lot of darkness like I used to be. And I feel very skilled in my own menstrual cycle mastery skills. And I feel like my menstrual cycle is no longer a problem. Also, it is not an obsession. And I am not worried about what food I eat and don't eat, or protocols I do and don't do. I have a very peaceful relationship with my menstrual cycle. I trust my cycle. My cycle is changing, as is all of our cycle. All of our cycles are changing, and my cycle will continue to change. And I am not, I don't give that too much thought either, because it's not an issue for me right now. And I very much have a mindset of, I will cross bridges when I get to them, for myself personally. And yeah, of course, there are lots of things that I do that support my hormonal health that are very important to me, but they've kind of become second nature, so I don't feel like I have to like think about them a lot. And I don't feel trapped in rules and strict protocols, etc. And I don't dread my cycle like I used to, or manage my life around symptoms. And so that's why I like to describe my cycle as peaceful. I also wouldn't say I love my cycle, and I don't feel pressure to be in love with my cycle. For me, it's a kind of a gentle relationship I have with it. And, you know, there are days where I struggle with it, or it's a little off, or my hormones might be a little off, or my mood might be a bit off, or my nervous system. And there's days where I still get pain. And then there's days where I have a lot of peace. So that's essentially where I'm at with my cycle now. And I did work very hard to get here. So I'm going to talk about what the things are that I do that are helpful, my journey, and things I'd be kind of aware of and conscious of. and a bit about my history. So I do hope this will be helpful for you. Everyone is very much on a different journey with their menstrual cycle, a different journey in terms of their relationship with their cycle, a different journey in terms of their experience of their cycle, and yeah, a different journey in terms of, you know, what you're reading about, what you're learning about, what you're doing. There's no right or wrong place to be. It's just, I see it very much as a process. And this work, the work I teach, the purpose of it is to support you in the process, to speed the process up so it doesn't take like 10 years like my process did, and to offer you the tools and skills so that you can also create peace with your cycle regardless of what it's doing, and peace in yourself regardless of what your cycle is, you know, how it's manifesting for you. So I'm going to go into my story. And before I do, I want to let you know that the doors to the Menstrual Coach Academy, if you're interested in taking this work deeper for you or for your clients, we've got a 6-month in-depth training starting this July 2026. So you can head on over to the link in the show notes, menstrualcoachacademy.com. The deadline to apply is June 26th. So that's just in a few weeks. And I am very excited to have you there. You can apply if you are looking to integrate this work into your own professional practice, or you want to become a coach and facilitate this work, or it be a part of your work. Or if you, we've had lots of people who come in for personal reasons and they get a lot of transformation and a lot of benefits for themselves personally, because we do a lot of personal process. And it's a great fast track to healing and really learning that behind the scenes skills of coaching so that you can coach yourself. So we've got that starting. And if you're interested in any of my other work, you can head on over to the other links as well, lisadeyoungcoaching.com. And if you've been a long listener of the podcast, I'd also love to for you to recommend the podcast to your friends, hit subscribe, leave us a review. I'd be very grateful. And also, I'm always looking for ideas for episodes. So if you've got any topics in mind that you'd like me to teach on or explore or reflect on from the perspective of my work, which is a mind-body approach, do let me know. Send me a message on Instagram or email me lisa@lisadeyoungcoaching.com, and I will definitely consider it as part of our topic list. So for the episode, I wanted to speak with you about a little bit about my history. So I've shared before that I struggled a lot with my periods when I was a young teenager. My mother would have to collect me from school, and I was quite athletic and I was quite studious, and it was difficult because I had to then drop out of class or drop out of hockey training, and I started to get very heavy, painful periods. I actually remember the first time I got period pain. I was about 14 and I thought it was severe hunger pains, and I had 2 bananas and it didn't cut it. So I then realized something else was going on. And anyway, after a couple of years, my period pain started to get worse and worse and worse. And my mom took me to the doctor, and the doctor put me on the contraceptive pill and then another pill because I was getting side effects from that pill, and then another pill, and then painkillers, etc. So the doctor at the time was compassionate. He was a kind, compassionate man. However, the medical practice at the time, and probably for a lot of you, wasn't very inquisitive into the root cause of what was causing my menstrual pain. And so I felt like I was only just being treated for the pain, but the underlying issue there was no curiosity at all about the underlying issue. And I felt quite unsupported. I felt quite depressed about it. And then that's when I started to develop a lot of fear and anxiety about my period, even when I didn't have pain. And it just became this big problem in my life. And at the time, it was the early 2000s. Periods were not being talked about, and shame was, you know, very alive and well in the women's health world. And so I didn't really have anyone to talk. Even my girlfriends, I didn't talk much to my friends about it. And I think the only person that really knew was my mum. It was kind of even not talked about in my family. And not that I expected people to talk about it, but it did mean that I felt like I had to hide the issue. And I didn't want to bother people with this embarrassing topic or bring it up and make people feel uncomfortable. So that was all kind of happening. And anyway, fast forward to university. I was in university in Dublin, and I then went on an Erasmus year. So that's like a study abroad year. I went to France, to Strasbourg in France, which was probably one of the best years of my life. And at the time, I remember thinking, I was continuing to get different side effects from the contraceptive pill. And at that point, I just said to myself, I've actually had enough of the pill. This isn't working for me. There has to be another reason why I'm getting pain. You know, let's come off the pill and see what happens. So I came off the pill, and in fairness, the pill did make my pain subside, but that's what it does, because it stops you having like a real, quote unquote, real menstrual cycle. And the pain came back. My skin did clear though, because one of the side effects that I was getting was bad acne from the pill, and my cycle was regular, but yeah, I was still getting a lot of pain, and I was really determined to figure it out. At that point, I was kind of just managing life around my cycle. It wasn't great. My mental health really wasn't great. I was performing very well in school and in university, and I was very athletic as well. So like I had lots of like things were going well in my life and checked off the list, but this was still an issue behind the scenes. And again, I'd have to miss lectures. I think I missed an exam because of it in university. And then fast forward, I got my second corporate job. That was kind of my first long-term job in a tech company. And I remember I called in sick from work, and I had to walk to my apartment and just be in bed for a few days, you know, with my period. And again, I didn't feel like I could talk about it. It was kind of embarrassing. I didn't know when it was going to happen and if it was going to happen. And it was really affecting my mental health. And at that point, my skin was starting to act up again. I started to get really bad acne. And I was going through a tough time in a relationship as well at the time, like early 20s, who doesn't? And yeah, it really wasn't a great time for me. And I really, really, I had a really good job, and I was really unhappy in that job. And I didn't know where my life was going. And I guess it, like looking back, it's kind of a normal 20s, you know, normal to be feeling a little bit like that in your 20s. Although at the time, I didn't, all of that was happening on the inside. And again, mental health wasn't a part of the public discourse back then either. So yeah, a lot of it was being bottled up, and I felt quite alone with it all. And I guess back then too, one of the ways my generation's way of coping would have been like drinking and partying and maybe a lot of avoidance. And so I wasn't a big drinker or didn't take drugs or anything, but I would have avoided a lot of, you know, my internal world and didn't even understand it. So what happened then was I started to research hormones and the menstrual cycle. And there wasn't a lot in the world about that at the time. And I found Elisa Vitti's work, and she was the first writer that I came across, at least. And I'm sure there were lots of people before, but searchable on Google and a book available, you know, on Amazon or in the library. And she had written a book called Woman Code. And it was all about it was about fertility. It wasn't really about fertility, but it was about hormones and the menstrual cycle. And I listened to one of her lectures that she did for Google Talks on YouTube. And it was the first time I ever heard, and I think she had just published the book that year. And it was the first time I heard somebody talk about the menstrual cycle from a cyclical point of view and the different phases. And she talked about blood sugar levels and what's happening with hormones. And I was just bowled over, because I was only ever taught about periods, and this is how you manage your period. And no one ever spoke about the connection between your menstrual cycle and the rest of your body. And it just all made sense to me. And I kind of almost thought to myself, like, how have we not been taught this in school? This is so obvious. Like, it was like she was just teaching me something that I already knew, but that I needed to hear. And it was amazing. And that kind of got me on a journey of healing and discovery. So I still had my corporate job. And I then went on a journey of learning and taking lots of courses and trying lots of different protocols. And yeah, it was a deep healing journey. And I was quite young at the time. I was only in my early 20s, and my friends were all busy with normal 20-year-old stuff, and I was like at home in my apartment, or in the room that I was renting in a house share in Dublin. And I remember on my laptop, on my HP laptop, I created a bookmark in my browser that was called Spiritual Healing. And again, back then, no one was talking about this, and no one was talking about periods. No one was talking about spirituality. Mindfulness was not a kind of a mainstream topic. And I decided that I needed to go on a spiritual healing journey. And anyway, so that's kind of what happened. It was kind of this like private thing that I was going through. And I went to see a functional medicine practitioner in Dublin, and he referred me to a psychotherapist and a counselor, a psychotherapist. And that was the first time I started to do therapy. And she was brilliant because she was able to really help me to create a relationship with my emotions, all these bottled up feelings that I'd had for so long, and understand my family dynamics and certain relationships in my life that were not necessarily healthy. And yeah, and it was the first time that I suppose received permission to feel my feelings and to really move through some very difficult feelings. And I'd had some complicated grief as well that I had to work through. And then what happened was I was sharing with her about some kind of highly sensitive, spiritual, intuitive feelings that I was having about certain things in my life. And it's the kind of stuff that you wouldn't say to somebody because you think, oh, they might think I'm crazy. And I said it to her, and she told me, no, I wasn't crazy, but Lisa, you are very different. And you're highly sensitive. You're very different. And I remember her saying, like, you're definitely going to do some very different work in this world. But I felt like there was almost like a spiritual energy that wasn't mine, that was in my aura, that needed to clear. And I was like, this sounds insane, but this is what it feels like. And she validated me and referred me to a shamanic healer. And I, at the time, so I'm obviously Irish, and my mother is Irish, my dad is Dutch. And so in my family wasn't very religious, but my mom would have been. And so anything to do with anything outside of the religion was kind of seen as dangerous. So when she said that to me, I thought, okay, like, is that safe? You know, and I felt like I couldn't tell my mother, etc. So anyway, there's a whole piece around that. But I went to see her, and I went to see this shamanic healer in Wicklow. And again, this was way before this was all normalized. And I know there's a lot of shamanic healers out on like Instagram, and you know, it's easy to find one now, but this was before those days. And a woman in her 50s, very experienced Irish lady. And anyway, went to see her and didn't really know what I was doing, why I was going there. But I was so desperate, and I was open to healing, and I needed help, and I was kind of willing to try anything at that point. And it wasn't just my period, it was like everything. I had a lot of anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation was happening, and then I had these chronic period pains. But on the surface, I was living, you know, this like lovely 24-year-old life, and good job and fit and healthy, etc. But inside, I was really suffering a lot. And anyway, what happened then was she did some energy healing on me, and that was very interesting. I won't go into the details of that, but after I had a session with her, I shared with somebody who I know in Ireland about that. And that person said to me, Lisa, what you did is very dangerous. You should stay away from that. And then it scared me. And what happened then was, I won't go into the details, but essentially after I got quite scared, But then I think the next day I got a very clear sign from the universe that what I did was the right thing to do. And I cleared an energy that had to be cleared from my system. And that energy kind of came back to me in a kind of angelic form and thanked me for releasing it. And that was incredible. I didn't really understand what was happening. And it was all very kind of like, quote unquote, coincidental, but it was a very strong synchronicity through a piece of music, and a very, very particular piece of music that was kind of my sign for this particular thing. And I, when it happened, I felt like, oh my God, this is like definitely a sign that this was the right thing to do and that I needed to clear that energy. So anyway, what happened then was after I worked with the shamanic healer, I think I did one or two sessions, I was paying her and I was just wrapping up the session with her and we were just chit-chatting. And then she just looked at me and she said, Lisa, if you want to do, she was talking to me about this shamanic medicine wheel that she was doing. And it was like, I didn't know what that was or what it meant, but really it's kind of like a workshop, a training, an initiation training. And an initiation training that she was doing with different healers and facilitators and energy workers in Ireland. And I didn't know what she was talking about, like a shamanic medicine wheel. What is that? Like, for me, it was very new to be in her office in the first place. And anyway, that was fine. Then I went home. One of the things she said to me to do when it came to my menstrual cycle was to take some of my menstrual blood and put it on the earth and, like, you know, as a kind of a ritual. And again, I was like, okay, I'll try anything, I'll do it. So, and it wouldn't have been the kind of thing that I would have thought about doing or had like read about anywhere. It just wouldn't be in my nature to do that. But I was, you know, I was given this homework and she was the healer and I was going to try it. So I did it. I took a bit. I was living with male roommates at the time. So I waited until they were gone. And then my next menstrual cycle, I think I collected some in a cleaned out jam jar and brought it outside and I placed it on the earth. And then what happened was, I think that night or the next day, I felt a curiosity. It was like an entity entered my body. And the only way I can describe it is, it was like curiosity was suddenly awoken in me, so strong about the course that the shamanic healer was talking about, that I only half kind of took in while I was paying for the session. And out of nowhere, I was just like, oh my God, I really need to like find out more about this course and or this shamanic medicine wheel that she's doing. And like, what is that? And like, why do I suddenly feel really curious about it? And for some reason, something in me decided to ask for a sign. And I kind of said to the universe, okay, this is so weird. I don't know anything about this. Why do I all of a sudden feel curious about this? I thought it was just, she was just telling me because, you know, she's looking for people to join. And it was just something that she'd say to someone while they're paying to go. And I just said to myself, this is ridiculous. But I think it was like a Friday or a Saturday. It was a week, maybe it was a week towards a weekend. And I said to myself, okay, if I'm supposed to do this course, I said to the universe, if I'm supposed to do this course, please send to me the topic of shamanism into my life before Wednesday, because it was, I think Wednesday was like she was taking the final applications for this program. And I just kind of put it out to the universe. And again, I didn't know what I was doing. I never really did that before, but it just occurred to me to do that. And I said to myself, this isn't going to, like, the topic of shamanism is not a world I navigate. And the only alternative thing I was doing in my life regularly was Pilates. I was going to, at the time, you know, again, at the time that was still kind of unique, Pilates in the early 2000s. This was now early 2010s. And so that was fine. Went to my Pilates class on Monday. No one talked about shamanism, you know, it didn't come up. And then on Tuesday, at the time, this was now, I was no longer working in tech. I had left tech I was starting to follow my interests more, and I had started doing a master's degree in Trinity College in an MPhil in linguistics, which was one of my passions. And so I was doing a part-time master's, and then because I was doing a part-time master's, I was also teaching English part-time, and I was becoming a teacher, and I loved teaching and especially working with language students. So I was working in a language school in a place called Portobello in Dublin. And that was Tuesday. I cycled to my job, and in the mornings my class would be prepped, but I would be photocopying pages from the book that I was teaching, I think like intermediate level two or something. So I got the, I was doing some handouts that morning for the class, and we were doing reading comprehension, and I grabbed my book so the way it works in the English language school was the curriculum is kind of laid out, and you just have to like teach the class and facilitate the learning. So it was a very particular reading comprehension, which wasn't my choice. It was the next one in the book. So I opened it up, and the reading comprehension was all about shamanism. It was a whole reading comprehension about shamanism. And I had to photocopy this for my students. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, my mind was blown. Anyway, so got through work. And then I called Maura, the shamanic healer, that evening. And I was like, I told her the story. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. I'm really scared. I'm getting these really strong signals. I have so much curiosity. I don't even understand what this is all about. And she just said to me, and I personally wouldn't say this to a client, but she said to me, Lisa, this was planned for you before you were even born. And that really kind of sent a shiver down my spine. And I signed up to the program, and I took the shamanic medicine wheel with her in, that would have been maybe that was about 2014. And didn't know what I was doing, didn't know what I was getting into. It was based in Ireland. And essentially it was, I couldn't even explain to you actually what it was. But it was in simple English, it's not even a course, it's a process. It was like we spent a week together, and we worked on the four directions of the shamanic medicine wheel, and we were given a mesa of stones that we then charged with energy. It was all about energy healing and working with our shadow and healing our trauma, healing our wounds, and integrating healing within us so that we could like become our own wounded healers ourselves. And it was a beautiful, beautiful process. And it was 4 weeks throughout the year. And so each week we would do a different direction, the north, south, the east, the west, and then the associated elements with each. So it was essentially just a lot of process work. We did breath work, movement, drumming, shamanic journeying, lots of things, energy work with each other as well. And again, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was shifting a lot of stuff. And I was also grieving at the time because my grandfather died that year. So I was, there was a lot of stuff moving through me. And I was very young to be doing that. I was the youngest in the program. It was quite intense as well at times. But I trusted it. And there were times where I doubted whether I should continue like the whole thing. But those signs kept coming back to me that I needed to be there, and I trusted those like messages from the universe. So that was the kind of the first really big deep training that I did. And I was also getting into mindfulness meditation. I had had an, I think I talked about this before, I'd had an experience where I was practicing mindfulness meditation, and the first body kind of based one that I did, I had done body scans, but I decided to do one on my womb. And because a womb meditation, I hadn't discovered it, but I kind of thought I'd try it and invent my own version of it. So I got into the meditation state and brought my attention to my womb. And then within 5 minutes, I was in floods of tears because I realized in my meditation that I had so much grief around my uterus, and that every time I got my period, my thoughts would say, I want a hysterectomy, I hate my cycle, I hate my uterus, this is awful. So I was having all those kinds of thoughts. And then I went on and I trained with Red School. And then I also did training as a Pilates instructor because I wanted to learn about physiology. Meanwhile, I was also teaching English. And then I started to I started to then work with women doing workshops. My friends wanted to kind of learn from me, and then I started to do one-to-one work. So over it was very much an emergent growing process. And then at one point as well, later on then, when I became more skilled at working with people and individuals, I was able to recognize that I had my own personal process, and that I had a professional practice and a skill set for working with people, and my professional practice had certain missing pieces, and working with trauma was one of them. So I did the training with Peter Levine, somatic experiencing training, and integrated that into my work. Found a supervisor, integrated that, learned about psychodynamic coaching. So it all started very much off as a personal journey, and then turned into both personal and professional, because that was kind of what was emerging naturally and birthing naturally for me. But going back to my own journey, even though I was doing a lot of that healing, I also then discovered things like diet and nutrition for the menstrual cycle, and obviously menstrual cycle awareness and tracking and the nervous system work. And my pain was, I'd have months where I'd have no pain and then months where I'd have pain. And I then, because I never rejected modern medicine, that was always there, but I was always going to be open to other things. I'm very much someone who's like, whatever works, give it to me. And I'm willing to try and be open, you know. And I, as a lot of you know, I also have undergone surgery for endometriosis. So I did have a surgery for endometriosis in Ireland in the late 2010s. And that was not great, because I did get a diagnosis of endometriosis, but I didn't realize at the time that there's different surgery techniques, and that particular consultant only used ablation and not excision for the surgery. And I something I didn't know about. And this is a very, very highly renowned surgeon in women's health in Ireland, who is invited to speak at a lot of events about endometriosis. Anyway, I felt like I received a surgery by essentially like an incompetent practice. And then I did more research, and I decided eventually, after about 5 or 6 years of that, to go to London, and I got a surgery there via the excision method from a endometriosis specialist, as opposed to a kind of a general gynecologist. And I got really good results from that surgery, because he did find endometriosis that was left behind, and he removed them. And I had no pain at all for months, about 6 months. And then my pain started to come back. And that's when I started to get really suspicious about my pain. And I realized, oh, there's another missing piece to the puzzle here, which was then when I started to read about pain science, pain psychology, neuroplasticity, and how our brains can be very much wired for pain, and how the placebo effect could actually be a good thing, because it means that because I was thinking, well, if my brain is capable of making a non-painful period, that must be something that I can create. So I went down that route, and I started to do those exercises and more personal process in a more gentle way than the shamanic process that I was going through. And with that work, through that kind of self-work that I took myself through, that wasn't really facilitated by anyone else, I actually was able to go deeper, because I had the skills to. And there were certain old beliefs and old experiences and old truths that I was carrying in my system that I almost didn't realize I was carrying, that were still there. And certain things about important relationships in my life as well, with people I care about, but that kind of relationship dynamics that were kind of a bit harmful. And I had to understand how to unravel those and untangle those for myself. So that was all part of the process. And then meanwhile, I was also, you know, getting curious about diet and lifestyle and kind of more surface level stuff. And over time, you know, this is very much not a linear story, but there were times on the journey where I was taking in a lot of information, and I, you know, fell in love with menstrual cycle awareness and tracking and blood sugar balance. But there were also times on my journey where I was making decisions from a place of fear and urgency and control, particularly when it came to things that were practical, like diet and lifestyle and tracking. And now looking back, I realize like, oh, that all of that control was contributing to covering something bigger up. And I had to learn how to move out of the control, which is why I said at the start of this episode that I now have a peaceful relationship with my cycle. It's not necessarily always perfect, but it's certainly more peaceful, and it's kind of more detached than it used to be. So that's really my story and my personal story. And I will say that I got the best results from in terms of like reducing my pain when I started to do the pain science work that I also now teach in my practice from a perspective of the menstrual cycle work through the nervous system lens, and understand how to rewire my own brain pathways. Because when I was getting pain, or even before I'd get pain, my thoughts would be instantly panic mode. Those neural pathways would be firing, which would press the on button onto my fight or flight response in my nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system. And I do have a very sensitive nervous system. I am very intuitive, and I'm very sensitive, and I'm very creative. But it also means that my the on button is very sensitive for me. So if I start getting fearful thoughts, I can experience that through my physiology very quickly. So I really had to learn how to downregulate fear and anxiety. And I had to learn how to be in my body when I wasn't in pain, and enjoy my body when I wasn't in pain, and also be in my body when I was experiencing discomfort, and be with different kind of levels of sensations, and not always be calling it pain, or not assuming it was going to be pain, or not fortune telling pain and suffering, which is also a really, really big part of this work, for particularly for people who have pain or PMDD. Is to learn how to be with all the different nuances without kind of jumping to conclusions immediately, and then build a lot of safety in my body, even if I was feeling uncomfortable, still be able to leave the house and do work and not be kind of so preoccupied with a bit of discomfort when it wasn't necessarily painful. So I got the best results from that work. I got better results from doing that work from getting surgery. I am a big fan of menstrual cycle awareness, but I do think it can only take you so far if you're working with pain. And another really important piece of the puzzle is nutrition and diet. And I have taken advice from people who are certified nutritionists and dietitians, and it hasn't served me. So it really is, you have to either work with somebody or read someone's work who is trained in female sex hormones and female physiology to understand it. But what works for me is not the foods I eat, but how I eat, and thinking about my meals through composition. So how can I balance my blood sugar levels? Very much through making sure I'm getting healthy fats, proteins, carbs, and fiber, not just in my meals, but in my snacks. And I don't restrict my diet anymore. I eat what I want. And yeah, my weight has fluctuated up and down depending on what's happening in my life, and that's been interesting. But I focus on nourishing myself, fueling myself. I love to work out, and yeah, I can get injured every once in a while from the exercise that I do. So sometimes when I'm in recovery mode, I'm not working out as much. But when I am working out, it's important that I fuel myself. And I do take some supplements, but not as much as I used to. And I researched the supplements I take. A few years ago, I had a really bad episode of choking. And that fear gets triggered. I was alone when it happened. It's a whole other story, but the fear gets triggered. And I actually did recently have hypnotherapy to help me through that fear. But I'm saying that because I recently did some research for new supplements, and I was able to source some really good quality supplements in drop format and in powder format. So I'm really happy with myself about that. And yeah, so that's really it in terms of my personal relationship with my cycle. I am 38 now. I haven't yet experienced any signs of perimenopause or anything. and I'm very happy with where my cycle's at. I do get the odd bad period, but I've been able to work full time. I've been able to go out on day one and exercise and go to meetings, etc. And for me, it's very much about, my premenstrual phase is very important for self-care, and then managing my thoughts and the fear and the emotions is very important, and processing my emotions is also very, very, very important, and having healthy relationships is very important to me as well. So that's essentially it. My history with my periods and a little bit more of a window into my journey and my work and the guidance I received and what I do now. I don't work necessarily like with shamanic practices, but I like to think of my work very much as intersectional, and I have a lot of strings to my bow. And I don't work with one particular model because my focus is very much on the individual. And so I will use different practices and modalities with different people when I'm coaching, but my coaching has also become very relaxed and conversational focused. And I love coaching as a healing modality in and of itself, because I'm receiving a lot of things when I'm listening to someone. I'm really attuning to them. I'm noticing things. I'm using my intuition a lot, as well as my intellect. And I'm using powerful questions to move us along in the journey and in the process, and help people to untangle and heal trauma and work with the shadow side of the menstrual cycle. I really, really, really believe that we live in a society that puts the shadow side of the cycle, the dark side, the difficult emotions, the difficult experiences, the discomfort of the cycle gets completely hidden away and not talked about. But when we learn how to build a relationship with that shadow, when we learn how to integrate it, not through the toxic positivity stuff, but actually build connection with our shame, our fear, anxiety, our grief, all the things we need to move through, it brings us to this powerful love, this powerful peace, this powerful connection. Connection would be a North Star word in my life, and it has not let me down. So yeah, connection to the shadow, connection to the difficulty, connection to yourself. And I would say, I know some of my journey has sounded a bit woo-woo, but there's so much mystery to the menstrual cycle. There's so much uncertainty. There's so much magic. I do believe there's a lot of space for asking for signs from the universe, asking for messages, whether it's through dreams or energy work or signs or just an intuitive knowing. Sometimes when you ask for those signs, it takes you to the next right step in what you need to do in your like current reality, whether that be a book or a podcast or a healer or a facilitator or a course. And usually those signs don't let you down. And also when we get a sign, whether it's really obvious or not, we feel curious. It sends us into that curiosity. I think curiosity is a huge part of my own intuition, and I think it is for you too. And it helps us to be connected to the book we're reading. I'm currently reading a book about something unrelated to this, and I feel very connected to that particular topic right now, but I wouldn't have felt connected to that a year ago. So I'm trusting my where my connection kind of senses are taking me. And I very much use that as my compass, my North Star, my compass. So I guess that's my journey. That's my experience. And I hope it's inspiring for you. Everyone's journey is very different. If you are interested in working with me, you can head on over to my website, lisadeoncoaching.com, and you can find more information about my courses and my one-to-one work there. And if you want to work with me sooner rather than later, like I said, we've got the Menstrual Coach Academy starting in July 2026. The deadline to join is July 2026. The deadline to join is the 26th of June. So in a couple of weeks. So do make sure you get your application into me, and I'm really looking forward to having you there. And don't forget, that is for professionals and for people who just want to go deep for personal reasons. If you're maybe a bit nervous about what that course is about, do head on over to our website, menstrualcoachacademy.com, and the best place to hear about that course actually isn't from me, it's from the graduates. So head on over to the testimonials tab and you can read, and I've got loads of video testimonials in there, and you can listen to the graduates talk about their experience. I'm very proud of that program, and it's a very, very powerful program, but very gentle and very, very nourishing. Learning in my work is not about intellectual overload and overwhelming our systems. It is actually about learning how to receive and tune in and connect to each other and go on a different journey. So you're very welcome to join us, and we'd love to have you. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening to me. That was a little bit more of a vulnerable episode for me, because there's a lot of that story I haven't shared before. And like I said, if you have any other questions or ideas for other topics, do send me an email and I will definitely add it to the list. Loads of love and have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.